You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
And even when we look at the book of Acts, there's so many disciples. I think it's all but one who was martyred for their faith. And as I was thinking about this, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. Because have you ever had the thought before, like, if you got to the point where you had to give your life, you would do it for God? And so I was like, you know, thinking about that, like, yeah, God, like, if it ever came to the point where I had to give my life up for you, I would do it. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, if you aren't willing to give up your free time, will you really be willing to give up your life? And I think sometimes what we do in the church is we look at the big things and we say, God, I give you those. My future, my career, my life. But when he asks for the daily things, we hesitate.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Worship team, thank you guys. You guys did an incredible job. Thank you guys for being here tonight. I want you guys to pay attention here for the next 10 or 15 minutes as Pastor Bethany comes and shares what God's placed on her heart. Give it up for our pregnant kids pastor.
Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege of getting to speak tonight. We're going to go on a little journey tonight, so I want you to imagine with me that we have a little fireplace here in front, and we're just chilling, and we're going to have a little fireside chat tonight. But this is a fancier one, because obviously we have a projector and a screen, because we're cool like that. So we're going to go on a little journey today, and we're going to talk about dependence. Can you turn to the person next to you and say dependence? And I want you to turn to the person on the other side of you. And if you're my husband, he can just tell God. Turn to the person on the other side of you and say desperation. We're going to be talking about these two words tonight. And I got to tell you that as a pregnant lady, desperation is something that I've learned a little bit more of in the last couple months. There's something about, you know, I'm not going to go into detail, like, extreme details because, you know, but there's something about, you know, like eating all your food and your stomach's hurting and then all of a sudden you don't got no food in your stomach anymore. I remember growing up when I was sick, I remember, like, you know, just being laying in bed and, like, blowing my nose and just feeling horrible. And I remember, like, having these moments with God that I'm like, God, if you heal me right now, like, whatever you want me to do with my life, wherever you want me to go, I don't even care. Just take this sickness away. And I think that's something, there's something to say about, you know, being sick and having those moments where it makes you feel super desperate, you know, whatever the desperateness is, for whether it's for God or to get better or whatever the thing is. Sometimes those moments of sickness can make you feel super desperate. So we're going to look at some people today. I'm not a super historical gal, but today I'm going to be. So if you can turn your eyes on the screen, we're going to talk about some cool characters. This guy's name is William Tyndale. And William Tyndale, he was a guy that lived in the 1500s. So it was a long time ago, and he had this passion that he wanted to translate all of the New Testament into English, because I don't know if you guys knew, but the Bible didn't come to us in English, and so William, he wanted to get, like, all the Bible to the common day people, because then the Catholic Church, they were the only ones who had the Bible, and so William was super passionate about this, and crazy thing, though, is the Catholic Church actually didn't want him to translate that. In fact, they didn't want him to translate the Bible so much so that there was death threats on his life, and he was persecuted, and he actually had to move from city to city, running away from all these death threats on his life. And eventually, in, 1536, so 487 years ago, not to the day, but close to it, William, he was actually betrayed by a close friend, and then he was hung and then burned for translating the Bible into English. But his last words, and something that really imprinted on my heart, is he said this. He said, "Lord, open the eyes of the King of England." And the crazy thing is, within a year after his death, there was a English Bible that was placed in every parish church by order of the king. So the fact that he prayed that prayer and God did this miraculous turnaround with his life within a year is pretty cool. Also, something really cool about William, too, is when he was in prison, he was in prison for about a year and a half, he was so passionate about his faith in Jesus that the jailer and his family and all these people around him came to know God because his life was so dependent on God. And here's the thing. We can look at church history. When William Tyndale isn't the only person who gave their life for God and was martyred. There's Pastor Jason gave me this book, and it's full of people who gave their lives up for the gospel. And even when we look at the book of Acts, there's so many disciples, I think it's all but one, who was martyred for their faith. And as I was thinking about this, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, because have you ever had the thought before, if you got to the point where you had to give your life, you would do it for God? And so I was thinking about that, God, if it ever came to the point where I had to give my life up for you, I would do it. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, "If you aren't willing to give up your free time, will you really be willing to give up your life?" And I think sometimes what we do in the church is we look at the big things and we say, "God, I give you those, my future, my career, my life." But when he asks for the daily things, we hesitate. And the Holy Spirit, that's something that he wants to challenge today. We're going to look at another cool guy. His name is William. Very, very clear picture. So William Seymour, if you have never heard his name before, he was one of the leading pastors in the Azusa Street Revival. And he led that revival, I can't remember the year, I think it was 1906 actually, is when the revival broke out. And there was so many things that came from this revival, actually the Assemblies of God, so literally, the denomination, the church that we're in right now, was birthed out of that revival. But there was some people that spent time with him, with William, and they figured out his lifestyle and kind of things that he would do. And they said this about William. They said, "Pastor Seymour was so hungry for God's presence in his life that he set aside 5 hours each day to seek God's deeper touch. He prayed like this for over 3 years. At this point, he read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and something stirred in him to pray for the same outpouring on himself and on his congregation. He then increased his prayer time to 7 hours a day and continued to pray in this fashion for another 2 years before the answer came and the revival broke out." Another gentleman, another William, there's so many Williams, described Seymour this way. He said, "He walks and talks with God. His power is in his weakness. He seems to maintain a helpless dependence on God and is as simple-hearted as a child, and at the same time is so filled with God that you feel the love and power every time you get near him." And like I said before, the Assemblies of God was birthed from this revival. Over 50 countries experienced revival from this revival in the small town in Azusa. And not only that, but there was just this birth of Holy Spirit-empowered believers all over the world. 38 missionaries were sent out within 5 months of just the start of the revival. And our last person that we're going to look at tonight, her name is Susanna Wesley, and she is the mother of John Wesley. And one thought that I've had is a lot of these stories are about all of these guys. Not that guys are cool, but especially looking forward to being a mom, I always think about what does it look like to sustain a dependency and a desperation for God, practically, because we always talk about the ideas and the theories of we want it, but what does it look like? So this is I always am inspired by this. So Susanna, she had a ton of kids. I can't remember how many. I think it was at least 8 plus. But as her kids were running around her house every single day, when her kids saw her put her apron over her head, they knew that that was her time to pray and be with God. And I just love how when we look at these different people throughout history, they all in these different ways, Susanna, she just put the apron over her head and all the kids were don't talk to her. They had these ways of being desperate for God and spending that time with God. And I feel like today the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, sometimes we look for victory and, the fighting and the, you got to do this and, all these strong, crazy things. But sometimes I think the greatest victories are found in the desperation for Holy Spirit and a dependency on a Spirit that unlocks the floodgates of victory. I'm going to say that again. A dependency on His Spirit unlocks the floodgates of victory. I believe that there are environments in history that encourage, intensify a desperate heart for God. When we think of Acts, we think of times of martyrdom. And you hear about different countries. I heard a story the other day of Christians in Africa. And they don't have access to doctors. And because of that, they're like, we're so desperate to see God move in our communities with miracles that we see it all the time. But here's the thing. We could wait for these physical environments to change our hearts. But to be honest with you, I don't want to wait until our physical environment has to get so intense that we don't grow our desperateness for God. What would our church look like if we desperately cried out to God now, not just when things are looking bad? And I know this isn't necessarily a fun topic, but I feel like it's what the Holy Spirit had for tonight. And this is a question that I want us to sit with right now. What in your life is dampening an environment of desperation? James 4, 7 through 10 says this. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to me and showing me that there's so many things in my life, where I look at those big things, God will do this, and I'll do this for you. And then when it comes to my, I'm going to start saying specific things, when it comes to my phone time or, what I do after work, I look at my schedule and I'm like, God, these are the things that I want to do. And I think the Holy Spirit is saying tonight to you, what are those things in your life, the habits, the rhythms that Pastor Jason talked about a few weeks ago, what are those rhythms in your life that are actually dampening an environment in your life of dependency on God? Because to be honest with you, those are the things that are gonna either create an atmosphere where the revival that we've been looking for is gonna break out, or it's gonna dampen that And to be honest, there's so many people in our community who are hungry for a move of God and what Jesus wants to do. And not only, you know, in the church, but they want to see it out there. They're, like, honestly, like my generation, they have so many questions about who God is. And if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives on a daily basis, they're not going to know who God is. And so I just want you guys to take a moment and you can close your eyes. And just a practical, Holy Spirit, what in my life is dampening an environment of desperation for you? And as Brooke comes back to the piano, I just want to continue leaning into this moment. I almost felt like the Holy Spirit was going to do, chiropractic, like an adjustment on us tonight. And I know it, like, you know when you feel, I don't know if you've ever had someone pop your back in, like, when it's done at first, it doesn't really feel good, and you're supposed to, like, drink water and, like, all the things. Like, it doesn't feel good at first, but when the Holy Spirit does it and we allow his work to continue in our lives, we feel the effects of it long term. And so you guys can just stand across the room, and we're going to lean into just that a moment of desperation before the Holy Spirit. If he brings up practicals, those are the worst sometimes, but they're also some of the things that can change environments and lifestyles down the road. So let's lean into that right now.
I've had two moments today that have made me personally chuckle, not in a good way. There's a moment in this morning's worship where Pastor St. John asked for the whole church to sing a cappella. Do you guys remember that beautiful moment this morning? And it made me chuckle on the inside because it reminded me, have you guys ever watched the movie Elf with Will Ferrell? It's like that Christmas movie. It culminates in this last scene when James Caan, this famous gangster rapper, or gangster-like actor. Christmas spirit had to go all the way up. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. Had to go all the way up if everyone would sing really loud. You guys remember that scene? And he wasn't going to sing because his voice wasn't good? That's exactly how I felt like in service today. That I think I'm supposed to sing, but I probably shouldn't sing because it would make everything really bad. But the truth is, God doesn't really care about the quality of your voice. He cares about the heart of your voice. You tracking with me? So that gives all of us permission in this room that can't sing just to sing out loud. And the people next to us can ask for forgiveness later, all right? I had a secondary moment as you were at the end of our service today. By the way, you did a beautiful job. Desperation. That quiet time. I don't know what it is about that quiet time for, I think, maybe it was 60 seconds or 90 seconds. Did anyone start to feel awkward in the room? I did. I'm going to be honest. I did. I don't know what it is about quiet time and awkwardness with me. There's something that I identify with fervency and power. But then when things get very quiet, I'm like, is she okay? What's going on? And I think what you led beautifully is really the issue that we have in the American church when we think about waiting and tarrying on the Lord. When you think about praying for 7 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours, within like 60 seconds of quiet, it was almost like this uncomfortable thing. Is everyone tracking with what I'm saying today? To be part of a move of God is really to kill the flesh that we all have on us and to say, Lord, I really want the flesh in me to die so that you can live. And I wanted just to throw myself under the bus, because if God's still working it out in me, it's okay if he's still working it out in you. But we got to work it out, because we are the people. I am the child of God. Look to your neighbor and say, you are the child of God that the kingdom of heaven is going to flow through. And we've got to pray that God will get our hearts and prepare our hearts for what he has for us. And if it means that we have to be quiet for 90 seconds, Pastor Bethany, I want you to know I'm with you. And Pastor St. John, If you want me to sing as a group in an audience with the church, I'm going to sing, and no one's going to stop me ever again. You know what I'm saying? Because God has that way of allowing us to be. So we're going to practice it today, all right? We're gonna sing out loud. I'm going to sing behind the microphone, babe. I'm joking. I'm not going to do that. I won't do it. Yeah. I'll sing.
I was going to get my recorder.
But just to say, there's got to be a desperation that goes beyond letting our flesh control us, but allowing the Holy Spirit to come. And that's what a beautiful thing. So Holy Spirit, whatever it is in each one of our lives, if you're asking us to strip away the noise to get to that intimate place with you, Lord, we'll do it. If it means raising our voice and worshiping you with genuineness and sincerity, we'll do it. God, create in us the atmosphere for desperation. And forgive us for all the things that we've allowed in our life that have dampened that desperation.
As we get ready to close, I just had a moment that I was feeling the Lord speak to me, and the message was speaking to me, and just in a moment, I was in those services, that all I had to do was get my friends to come to church, because in a moment, he'll change you. In a moment, he can touch you. Your pastor said, I think last week or the week before, he said, what should take years, but in a moment, he can meet you, and he can change you, and he can unite us together for a cause. And I was thinking to this is that, God, I want to obey. God, I want you to have access to my life. God, in just a moment, you can go home, and in 90 seconds, as awkward as they are, you can say, God, whatever it is, you have permission to take it from me, to help me, God, because I need your help. Listen, we're in a very crucial moment here that God wants to move in this church, but it's going to take us taking a step forward and in obedience, and you can trust him. You can trust him. The Bible says, while you were yet sinners, he died for you. He knows right where you're at. You can trust him. So what I want to encourage you as you walk out of this place tonight is that when you go home and you lay your head on that pillow and the pillow tonight, that you can trust him. Give these things to him. Say, God, I need your help. God, I surrender everything to you. And in that moment, he will come and meet you at the point of your need, and he'll bond us as a church together to go win the lost. I'm telling you, he'll do it. And it starts here, it starts tonight, and it starts with you and me just saying, God, I surrender to you. So Lord, as we go, God, begin to speak to us. God, there's nothing off limits, Lord, to us. God, in a moment, you can touch us and you can heal us. You can direct us and you can guide us. You can empower us, Lord. So God, go with us tonight, Lord. God, protect that seed that was planted today, Lord. God, let it grow and mature, Lord. God, we trust you and we love you, Lord, God. And God, just be with your people as they go tonight and throughout the week. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.